Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
It's time for the B-A-Q-A, A, the B-A-Q-A, A, the B-A-Q-A, just Tiffany, the B-A-Q-A, not Manday, but A-Q-A, but I still got you. A, so this is Brown Ambition Question and Answers. You have questions. Although I might not have all the answers, I have some advice that you take with a grain of salt, but not really advice. It's just, I'm just sharing. And you're going to lean into the professionals in your life, like your mama, your daddy. I'm not your financial advisor. I'm not your attorney, honey. I'm not your insurance agent, whomever. Right. So you're going to lean into them. But, you know, I'm just a smart brown girl that knows some brown girl things. Okay. Okay. So go see your grandma, not us. All right. So if you have a question that you want to submit, a question about business, about personal finance, about career, money, go ahead on over to our Insta, Brown Ambition Podcast, and you can DM us, and you can also email us by going to brownambitionpodcast.com and click contact us. Okay. All right. So let's get started. Two questions. Quick question from Anonymous. I'm going to call you Universal. She said, "Hey ladies, quick question from Anonymous. Thoughts on transferring funds from my kids' college fund, which is a 529 plan, into their index universal policy. Thinking I may get more bang for my buck. Appreciate all that you do. Keeping amazing." Girl, I hate the fact that you have an index universal insurance policy. They got you good. Here's the thing. I'm going to take it from the word of Get Good Money. You know, my New York Times bestseller that has sold over 270,000 copies. And so I personally introduced... If you have this book, go ahead on and turn to the Get Good With Insurance chapter. And we're going to run on the page of 246 that I interviewed my financial advisor for this and other financial advisors, but especially Anjali. So there are two core types of insurance policies for all those listening, including Universal, who just hit me up, right? So term is for a specific term, number of years, you know, for example, a 30-year policy or 20-year policy, you can get for a specific term of time. And term is traditionally cost less money than the second type of policy, which is a permanent insurance policy, often referred to as whole life or universal, which is what you shared. Now, whole life, it never expires. It's a policy for which you have monthly payments until your death, at which time your beneficiaries will see the full amount of the promised policy. You know, it's structured differently than term. And so you get life insurance benefits. You can also access the cash you put in. Now, here's kind of like what they sell you on. Now, here's the thing. I want you to take a step back. On the surface, it's like, well, duh, I should get permanent because I want to keep paying. So that way my beneficiaries will get it even if I live past the 30 years. So on the surface, it seems like permanent or whole life universal sounds great. Now, remember, I'm not telling you what to do. This is not financial advice. This is just what I'm doing for my life, aka child, don't play yourself. Now, term on the surface doesn't sound as great. Oh, it's only 30 years. But here's the thing. Insurance is not a money-making tool. Finna say it again. Insurance is not a money-making tool. It's a protection tool. But the life insurance companies have bamboozled, tricked, and lied to y'all to get you to look at life insurance as a potential money-making tool. It's not. Think about your car insurance. You make money off your car insurance, sis? You don't. What about pet insurance? You mad that Fluffy is still alive? You make money off your pet insurance? You don't. What about home insurance? You make money off your home insurance? You don't. Insurance is there to protect you, not to make money off of. But they have figured out with life insurance how to trick you into thinking you should make money off of it. Here's the thing. High key, low key, you don't make no money off of. Even universal, there's no money to be made. So I'll give you an example. 40-year-old woman, non-smoker. If she was going to get a 30-year term policy, for about $1 million, 30-year term policy, about 40, you're looking at about 40 or 50 bucks a month. That means it within the 30 years, if she, between 40 and 70, if she passes away before she reaches 70 years old, 50 bucks a month is what she's going to be paying monthly. And then that $1 million will go to whoever her beneficiaries are. Those are the people that you sign down, your sister, your cousin, your mother, your kids, whoever, your husband, your partner, whoever. Right? For about 40 to 50 bucks a month for a term 30-year policy for a healthy 40-year-old woman. Guess how much a $1 million policy for Universal will cost you on average? About $740. You would have to pay an additional $700 a month. You know what? Y'all gonna make me mad. I'm gonna do the math. Child, I'm gonna do the math. Where's my calculator? This is how they be getting you, child. Seven. You are an insurance agent. Talking about, Tiffany, shut up. For real. Because you guys should be ashamed of yourself. 700 times 12. 8,400. Additionally a month that you'd have to pay just to get that same $1 million policy. Poor K. Why? 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 That's ridiculous. You know, the only person that really benefits from a universal policy is the person selling it to you. They eat a good honey off you. That's why the agents be so mad when I be talking. Go ahead, argue with your grandma, not me, because I blocks, honey. So you don't slide in my DMs with the yang, yang, yang. Mm-mm. Right? Mm-mm. A 30-year policy is meant, a life insurance policy is meant to cover your working years. So y'all know my husband passed away. He had a life insurance policy, a few of them, through his job, but also he had an external one. Guess what? He was 41 years old. It covered his working years. And so now, because he's not here, he provided for myself and my stepdaughter, Alyssa. Because that's what life insurance is supposed to be for. It would have expired when he was like 70 or 75. By then, Alyssa would be a grown woman, maybe with kids and a partner of her own. So certainly, life insurance at its bare core is supposed to provide for the people that you are currently providing for in your working years. I'm going to say that again for the people in the back. Life insurance is supposed to provide for the people you're currently financially providing for in your working years. Now, by the time, even if you get a 30-year policy when the baby is 1 year old, by the time the baby is 31, the thought is the child is working. The only time, there are a few times where maybe it makes sense. Let's just say you have a child that has special needs and will always need to be taken care of. There might be some leeway there. But for the average person, a 30-year policy is plenty. It's affordable because 60% of people don't even pay the full universal because it's so expensive. It's the first thing to go. People say, oh, I got 40 bucks a month to keep up my $1 million policy, even though I lost my job. But people say, I don't have 740 bucks a month, even though I lost my job. So they get to keep all that money. Okay. So here's some things I wrote in the book, right? If the insurance broker says permanent life insurance acts like a tax deferral because you put the money in and you can essentially take out tax-free loan for a tax-free loan for the amount. What you need to know that is while it's true, it doesn't mean it's the best way for you to get a tax deferral. Make sure you're already taking advantage of all the pre-tax deferral accounts that are available to you, like a 401k or IRA. IRA is an individual retirement account. And so a permanent life insurance policy is not the only tax planning strategy, nor is it the best. And it's probably the most expensive. If the insurance broker says it's building value because it has cash value, you need to know that there are better ways to build your wealth. Do some quick math. What's the difference between what you would pay for a term policy for a year versus the permanent policy? In this example, $700 a month, $8,400 a year. What would you do if you put that into the stock market? Here's the thing. Listen to me closely. According to Consumer Reports, the average annual rate of return for a whole life guaranteed cash value. This is a very popular type of permanent life insurance policy, is 1.5%. Did you hear what I said? The rate of return. Child, you could just put your money in a savings account and they're going to give you more if you're currently listening to this in February 2024. I think mine is like 4% or 4.5%. So that cash value, they'd be telling you, oh, cash value is basura. If you're my Spanish friend, you know I say garbage. 1.5%. And that's not, I didn't say that. Don't be mad at me. Consumer Reports said it. That is the average rate of return. 1.5% says all that money that you're putting up for 1.5%. Meanwhile, the market in the last 30 years has yielded on average 7 to 8%. In the last 100 years, 10%. So you could have taken that $700 monthly, put it into the market, and got on a conservative 7% return over the next 10 years or so. Child. But you want your 1.5% because it's cash value. That's how they get you. That's how they get you. Mm-hmm. And so I made a mistake. I said before that 60% of people don't pay. That's not true. According to the Society of Actuaries, 45% of whole life insurance policyholders surrender their policy, which means stop paying, within the first 10 years. Ooh, that means about half of the people with the most popular type of permanent policies, whole life, pay all these big premiums and never see a return. Ciao. Why? You know, you'll hear like insurance brokers will say something like, you'll have this benefit that you can provide to your children no matter what. Even if you don't have other assets, they get this life insurance policy from you. But you need to know that this guarantee comes at a significant cost that for most people doesn't make sense because your children are here now. You want that $700 for them later or now, monthly. You know what I mean? Like you'd be putting that money up, you know, like, so I just want you to understand that like, for you, universal, that, you know, I see you already have a universal life insurance policy for your kids. Consider term life insurance. Now, here's the thing. Life insurance is certainly a way for you to pass on wealth. So let's just say you've done all the other things. You've maximized your 401k. You know, maybe you have a Roth. You know, you're investing in the market. You're doing all these other maximizing things when it comes to your money because you sat down with a financial advisor. And then you've done all the things and you're like, okay, I want to leave wealth to my family. Like, for example, when my husband was here, I still have my term policies and my financial advisor asked me if I wanted to cancel them because now he's not here and they're multiple seven figures. And I said, no, because the cost is nominal to me for the years, maybe like, I don't know, $1,500 a year, not a month, a year. And it would leave my current family with multiple seven figures. That's going to go to a trust and the trust will dispense it to my current family. Now, I don't have to do that because guess what? I am not financially taking care of my sisters and my nieces and my nephews, you know, but it is a way to pass along wealth. I'm only continuing to pay the $1,500 to $2,000 annually because Anjali, my financial advisor, said you don't have to because Jarrell's not here. And essentially it was for him. And I've already set aside money for Alyssa. She's good, right? But because I already maximized every other area, to me, it's worth it as an additional way to pass on wealth to my family. Now, that's after doing the other things. Does that make sense? That like life insurance can certainly help you pass along wealth that you don't have access to. Candidly, my husband never made over $60,000 a year, but he was able to leave a good amount of money for myself and Alyssa through life insurance. But even then he had term because it would have taken away from our daily life the cost of universal whole life. So I said all that amount of this to say, child, keep that money in that from 529 plan. And, you know, because you want to be careful because 529s also are tax advantage plans. So if before taking that money out, you want to make sure that it's taken out in a way that's not going to trigger taxes for you because it is a tax advantage plan. And if you are thinking about taking the money out because you wanted to like be in some sort of like index fund or something like that, like you can consider something called a custodial account. A custodial account is the kind of account that I have for my nieces and nephews. So I put money in there and Alyssa too. I put money in their account. That's how I'm paying for college for her, is that it's not a 529 because I don't know what school is going to look like because my oldest nephew is 8. So instead, a custodial account basically is like an investment account specifically where it can be used any kind of way, but it's not tax advantaged. But I'm willing to do that because I don't know what school is going to look like. The youngest niece is Mimi is six. That means Lily is five, right? So I don't know what school is going to look like in like 12 years or whatever. But I have custodial accounts for them. This is why asking for help, and I'm so glad you wrote in anonymous. It's really important when it comes to your personal finances because you want to make sure that you're maximizing your money. You know, like it is certainly we're here to look after our future, but not completely at the cost of our current life now, you know, and that's a really big price to pay for a very little payoff. Does that make sense? I hope it does. Okay. All right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And we come back, I'm going to take my second question.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost work there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access, wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
We are back and blacker than ever. All right, so I've got an email from, girl, you didn't say to keep your name anonymous, but I feel like it's a little personal, so I'm gonna call you Lily. Okay, Lily? Lily said, hi, Tiffany and Mandy. I love your show. Thank you. Thank you so much for your financial insight each week. I've been separated from my partner since May 2023. We have been living separately since then, and our three-year-old our three children have been living with me. I cover pretty much all of the expenses for our children. His contributions have been minimal, and I will be moving forward with getting a divorce this year. Okay. Fortunately, I have been blessed to have a stable job as a physician. Okay, girl, get money, honey. And financially, I believe that I'm in a good place. Oh, this is good. She said, I make over $250,000 a year. I love that for you, smart sis, Dr. Lily. I need to update it. We're going to call you Dr. Lily. Dr. Lily says, my partner used to take care of our taxes and we shared expenses when we were together. Now that that's no longer the case, I'm wondering if I should look into getting a financial advisor and accountant to help me navigate things on my own and file my taxes. Thank you for your input and advice. Dr. Lily, honey. So first of all, yes, if you are ready for that divorce, go ahead, child, you know, because you want to make sure that, you know, when you're married, your finances are combined. And I don't know what your partner's finances are, but it seems like they're not helping you with the children. So that gives me a little indication that I don't know where they stand financially. And they might be racking up debt, which could be y'all's debt, if you don't, you know, remove yourself. But I know divorce is not easy, so I'm certainly not advocating for divorce. Do what's best for you, but just being mindful that there are financial ramifications. With that being said, you said, should I get look into getting a financial advisor? Yes, Dr. Lily. I actually have a website called, yourmoneymatch.com. I partner with this organization that helps to match you for free to a financial advisor. You're going to fill out a bunch of questions at yourmoneymatch.com, and it's going to give you up to 3 potential financial advisors that you're going to interview. Now, here's the thing. The reason why I'm not giving you the organization's name directly, they hate that I'm doing it, but I don't care. I'm not thinking about them, thinking about you. Because when you go to yourmoneymatch.com, before you get matched, I will give you the questions to ask, like a document to fill out so you're ready. So this is a document that I filled out when I was looking for my financial advisor, and I found her, Anjali. Like, I created a document called Your So-Called Financial Life that gave her an idea of who I am financially. I submitted it to her and a bunch of people ahead of time so we could have an educated conversation about who I was financially, what my goals and hopes and dreams are. So I give you that, my so-called financial life document. I give you the questions to ask and what to look out for. You do the quick quiz, which is literally just a few minutes. Then they're going to send you an email of like up to 3 financial advisors that might be a fit. And you're going to interview them to make sure that they're fit. And if not, go back, take the quiz again, get some new people. And so that's why I won't give you the name of the company directly, because I told them I need to be in the middle of that. And they just told me the other day, which I'm so happy about, that the people that go to yourmoneymatch.com, she said that you guys have been showing up so ready. The questions that you've been asking, the fact that you know your numbers. I said, I know. That's why I wanted to get in the middle, because I don't want to just fling you to the streets and say, oh, go talk to a financial advisor. How? What should you be looking for? Like, I, for example, Anjali is not only a certified financial planner, which is critical. It's a difference between just a regular financial advisor. That's the gold standard, a certified financial planner. And the organization that I connect you to only has certified financial planners. Not only does she have that, she's also a CPA, a certified public accountant. For me, a business owner, that was critical. Everybody don't need all that. I pay Anjali good money because not only does she advise me on the money side of the Tiffany side, but also on the budget Nista side. A business. So it might be an overkill for someone, but not for me. And so it's not enough for me to like, oh, you know, work with Anjali. No, you want a financial advisor, a certified financial planner that matches you. You might find someone who navigates folks who are going through divorce. Like, for example, Anjali, actually, her husband is a physician, and a lot of her clients are physicians that have their own practices. So she does a lot of small businesses and physicians. She does high net worth individuals. So I share all that to say that it's not one size fit all when it comes to financial planners. That's why I said yourmoneymatch.com. It's totally free to get matched. Financial advisors are not free, but it is totally free to get matched. And like I said, all the resources I give you to find the right match, I give those away for free. Okay. And so, yes, you should absolutely, I think, at least have a chat with a financial advisor. A lot of people are anti-financial advisor. I don't believe in having a financial advisor. They're going to be mad at me, this organization. I don't care. You're not the boss of me. I'm the boss of me. I don't believe in financial advisors that do AUM, assets under management. What does that mean? That means they manage your assets. Say, let's just say you give them $100,000 to manage. They'll take a percentage, usually about 1%, and ends up being way too expensive over the life. I like financial advisors that I pay them a lump sum, whether it's monthly, annually, or whatever, or just one time. So financial advisors that do that, let's just say I say, oh, I want a financial plan. And they said, okay, plans are usually between $1,200 to $1,500. They give you the plan. You work the plan. Boom, you're done. Versus you by the time a financial advisor takes 1%, which doesn't sound like much, it actually combines to basically typically eat up almost all of your gains. No, I don't believe AUM. So that's just my two cents. And I don't believe in navigating financial advisors that take AUM. A lot of my friends don't believe in financial advisors at all because they're like, you can put it into an ETF or a money market, not a money market, a mutual fund, and make, you know, just basically pick an index fund that navigates how the market navigates. So the S&P 500, top 500 companies, you can literally choose an index fund, put the money in there, and what the market does, your money does. And the market on the last 30 years has returned about 8% or more, you know? So you don't need a financial advisor to do that. That's what they would argue. But as someone who lost their spouse, I will say I am so grateful I had a financial advisor, because Anjali, it wasn't just about here's what you do with your money. A really good financial advisor is holistic. Before Jarrell passed away, because it was an aneurysm, so it was really sudden, Anjali asked for all my financial paperwork. He had a pension at work. We had life insurance policy. We had all this stuff. Anjali looked at all of our insurances, everything. A good financial advisor doesn't sell insurance. Sorry for those people who are mad at me. Kick rocks, because y'all be overselling people stuff. That they don't sell insurance. They don't sell anything. Just information. Just, hey, Tiffany, here's what I suggest. Anjali would say, hey, Tiffany, you are underinsured. You need to get more insurance. Go talk to your insurance company, who I'm not connected to, and ask for this type of insurance. She don't get paid on the back end for that. Because he who pays the piper determines the tune. What does that mean? That means if Anjali got money from the insurance company, she going to do what they want. Anjali gets paid by me, so she do what I want. That makes sense? So I don't want nobody who's getting no back end money from like people that they're upselling me to. That's how them doctors, you know, like all those pharmaceutical, one of my friends used to be like the pharmaceutical reps, you know, they be getting the doctors all these free stuff, and doctor got you on lycopene, promazepam, all this stuff. Meanwhile, you got a stomach ache because the doctor getting some kickback. Y'all know y'all be doing that. Not you. Not you, Dr. Lili. I'm sure you're great. But I'm saying, I know you know how you have some doctor friends that be writing all them prescriptions. You know, and so he who pays the piper, who is paying your financial advisor? You? I pay Anjali monthly on a 1 year, what's it called? Like it costs me 1 year, and I pay her a lot because she does me and the Budgetista. So high end, which is 50, I think I pay her like $15,000 a year. That's a lot. On the typically lower end, you're looking at about $5,000 a year. You know, but then you can also pay hourly, which a friend of mine just meets with her financial advisor, you know, like twice a year, and she pays hourly, and you could just pay for a project. Like, help me create this whatever plan, and maybe that's like $1,500. So pay upfront, no AUM. These are just like, you know, like I'm not giving you financial advice. I'm just saying what I did. And, you know, like use the free tools that I've given you to help map out the right person. And filing your taxes, like, you know, I don't know how, if you have your own business or as a physician, whatever, but yes, having like, you know, not no H&R Block. Sorry. I'm sorry if they was ever going to sponsor us, but don't do that. Go ahead to like a regular accountant and yes, let them file your taxes. Taxes usually be about maybe between $600 to $1,000 to have your taxes filed. Because you just want to make sure you have all your stuff in a row. So asking for help is never a bad thing. Sometimes it does cost to pay for it. Okay. And yeah. So, you know, girl, you know, you're on the next stage of your life. You know, take care of you and your beautiful babies. Dr. Lili, we'll see you in these financial streets. If you want my body and you think I'm sexy. That's a song. Some of y'all too young. If you want our advice and you think I'm smarty, come on, lady, let me know. I edit it for y'all. Go head on over to Brown Ambition Podcast on IG or brownambitionpodcast.com. Click contact us. You can ask your questions there. Questions about money, career, business, entrepreneurship, finance, honey, career. Oh, that's a career. Even your life, honey. You might want some life advice. I don't know all the things, but I know some things. Until next week. Oh, before I leave, can you please, if you found any use for Wednesday's episode, when I talked about the benefits of building community, or this episode, share it with a friend. Okay? Sharing is caring. We want our podcast to grow. We want more sisters to find us. Brothers, too. We don't turn nobody around. Sisters, how y'all feeling? Brothers, y'all all right? And please leave us a review wherever you listen to the podcast. That helps for us to get more people listening. All right. Until next week. Bye, y'all. And send your love to Mandy, too. Bye, y'all.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.